Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour. Well, here we are, May the 7th on the West Coast, now May the 8th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. And got some interesting news that came out. Actually, there's a very detailed story on my website, directlightproductions.com. Two ways to get to it. Go to Breaking Stories. Follow the column on the right all the way to the bottom. Click on that link, and it'll take you to the article. Or just go to News and look at the most recent one on the index page. This is an alternate version of the same story. This is from the Intel posting of Casper at 4winds10.com. And this is his May 7th update. This is reporting on what's going on in the financial world. Pay close attention to this. This seems pretty accurate. Last night, all was well. We went to bed happy and excited. We awake this morning to all hell breaking loose in D.C. again. At 9:30 a.m. this morning, people working for We the People and the recipients, armed with world court warrants, went to the D.C. Police Department for assistance, serving the warrants on Treasury, and meaning the U.S. Treasury, of course, and the Supreme Court to obtain packages sequestered there. That's referring to large sums of money. The D.C. Police Department refused assistance, so the warrants were taken to the D.C. Commissioner of Police, who told his own police they would serve them or they would be arrested. The warrants were delivered at 11 a.m. today, Eastern Standard Time. All PACs were removed from Treasury and the Supreme Court and are at this time in a secure location. After the PACs were removed, threats began to fly in all directions delivered by Obama henchmen following his direct orders. Threats were and are directed to each recipient in every program, including Freedom, Farm Claims, etc. This is his money. He will get it one way or another. Any one of us attempting to board a plane to go offshore will be eliminated. That is a quote. This intel comes from several of the countries involved and the World Court. If there are any remaining skeptics out there other than the drug Kool-Aid drinkers, I mean, call your contacts within any of the countries involved or at the World Court for confirmation. The threats continued. He or they told those who now hold the PACs, quote, if you step outside, you will be eliminated, unquote. The countries were threatened. The World Court was threatened. The court was told there is not a GD thing you or anyone else can do to me, and neither can anyone on earth. If anyone gets in my way, I will ram it down their throats, and they will have an extreme short lifespan. Unquote. We hear that if any U.S. citizen in any program is harmed in any way, that Washington, D.C., and all of it will be burned to the ground. The PACs are still in D.C., where the good guys have spent the day doing address checks. Upon delivery, the Federal Reserve is automatically gone, like Congress and Obama as well, which accounts for the intensity of today's activities. The country's missing gold has been located at the World Bank, the IMF, England, France, Israel, and the Vatican. The last big load of out was overseen by Obama. Most was moved by Bush and Ying. That's a Chinese individual working in conjunction with the Bush clan. Ying has provided Bank of America, Citi, meaning Citibank, Wells Fargo, Chase, and many European banks with large amounts of counterfeit U.S. currency. Debts and or payoffs to Israel were paid using other countries' gold. Ying, acting for the U.S., has paid U.S. debts to Italy, Russia, England, France, Egypt, Japan, and other countries using counterfeit currency and instruments. More security is en route to the U.S. Our security is unknown at this time. All that is happening is under the direction of the Bush, Clinton, Obama, Illuminati crime syndicate. The military appears to be scared to death of Obama, especially including the generals. We find no one in D.C. or the Pentagon willing to take on this unbelievable corruption. Their pensions appear more important than their oaths or their country. God save us from our own cowards and traitors. More when possible. And that's from Casper. Now, over the years, I've been reading these intel reports, and sometimes they seem to be rather accurate. Sometimes they seem to be filled with disinformation. However, I can say they match what Christopher Story has been writing in England, although Christopher has quite a bit different slant to how he writes, and he's getting his information from all over the world. But this goes hand in hand with literally hundreds of stories that we've done on this issue. And if you wonder why the country currently is screwed up, you wonder why people are being forced out of their homes, why food seems to be getting scarce now, why the bailout is necessary, and why Congress is not listening to your voice, it's because they're part of this organized crime, this corruption. And this is just an encapsulation of the problem. So with that, we're going to talk about that and some other things with tonight's guest. He is a health consultant. He is a former chemist, actually worked with IBM Corporation. And he is a metaphysical scientist as well as a musician, and our good friend, Mr. Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome back to Evident Footprints.
Hi, good morning, Don. Thank you for inviting me back.
Well, my pleasure. And let's start off. I need to ask you, I know you've been following this story somewhat. Does this sound like it has a ring of truth, this story that I just read?
Time will only tell on that, Don. I just don't know. Let's hope so. But your comments regarding the military brass not honoring their oath and commitment to their country, that's a fact. And I just hope that the lower-level brass and all the GIs realize that they're only serving a globalist agenda. Their commander-in-chief is a fraud and a criminal, just like the previous ones, by the way. But this guy even more so, since he's a total foreigner. But again, old man Bush apparently was too.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's clear for sure. There's no denying that. Let's hope that the rest of what you were reporting this morning is true. Time will tell.
Well, and you were referencing some of my other genealogical articles. The genealogical work that I've done on this usurper has not been challenged. I'm inclined to think it's very, very accurate. Now, there are some recent developments that are actually kind of interesting. According to several reliable websites, and researchers and journalists that have done some digging, there was a Freedom of Information Act request to get copies of Obama's transcripts from Occidental College. Now, I don't know the full extent of what was found, but it has been learned that Obama received foreign let's say, aid, financial aid. In other words, his schooling was paid for at Occidental College as a foreign national from Indonesia. Very interesting. Notice it's not Kenya, it's not Hawaii, and we were told this story about Hawaii. Anyone that hasn't read The Three Stooges Go to Washington, Part 6, has missed out on the analysis of the photographs, and particularly revealing are the so-called photographs from Hawaii, which I determine are totally fraudulent. Absolutely no doubt about it. They're a fraud. They're Photoshop compilations. So that said, in light of that genealogical work, both in the research on the family members and the lies that were told about where they're from and who they are, then the documentation and now the photographs, it sums up pretty well that this person is totally fraudulent and has been given the power to run this country, even though it's illegal and everything that's going on. And this story that I just read right now fits in perfectly with it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely perfectly. There are further accounts that Rahm Emanuel is under sort of a house arrest, that the military and some of the law enforcement has actually taken some steps to keep these people from interfering with these payments. Now, these payments have to do with what has been called Nasara, and big investments that banks made all over the country and private investors that pooled their money together, and these monies were stolen and illegally used for derivatives. And, you know, the saying goes, if you make money with my money, it's my money. And I'm being, you know, intentionally brief with that, but the point is, it's not their money, especially when they've stolen it. And there are programs all around the world where people are putting, let's say, treasury certificates or bonds or gold collateral of some sort. There's backing capital to allow certain types of rehabilitation programs to take effect. And these are being stolen. They're being blocked. The funds, in this case, and Christopher Story's been reporting this, that on May 1st, short of World War III, the funds were released. They were released to the banks, and the banks...
our president. And it's outrageous, no question about it. You mentioned this was related to Nasara, and it had overtones in Nasara. That's what I was wondering about. So let's hope it's true. Nasara's been talked about for quite a few years, and it's technically a bill which will abolish the Federal Reserve Bank, and we have to get rid of that ASAP, have to drive a stake through its heart, chop its head off, throw it in the fire, and let it burn to ashes. And so let's hope that's all of that is true, Don.
Yes. Now this has been going on for quite some time. There are various rumors as to who's actually running the country, from a nephew of George W. Bush, one of Jeb's kids, to they're secretly moving Jeb in to take the role of his father, H.W. Bush, who on many accounts is described as suffering from dementia, and that's quite possible. But we're dealing with something that's even further out than that. That's
the Rockefellers are. Yeah, old man Bush is H. Bush. He's getting old, and dementia and all kinds of other problems will be coming his way. But the Rockefeller family are the essential power brokers in our country calling all the shots, as far as all I can tell. And the Bush family, the Clintons, Obama, they're merely underlings.
Yes, yes. Or Stooges, if you want to call it.
Definitely Stooges.
Well, I've been doing a little bit of research, and again, there's a very interesting connection to the Rockefellers involved in all of this stuff. We haven't heard much about Indonesia's role in world affairs, and I think I'm going to be revealing quite a bit. Some which is gleaned from research that others have done, and just general news items that are sort of buried out there, but thank God for they've become accessible. Things that normally you'd have to go pouring through thousands of magazines or volumes in libraries and hoping that you're actually finding the truth. But I'm finding a sort of a secret history about Indonesia. And you wouldn't think that Indonesia is described as the fifth largest country in the world.
No, you wouldn't.
But I've seen it numerous times described as such. And I know that in terms of square miles, it's very large.
Mm-hmm.
And so, there are many islands and they're scattered about, but there's quite a bit of secret history that has occurred and I think occurring right now. And the Rockefellers are in the midst of it. So it makes, there's some other dots to connect in the story of Obama. And I think a lot of people are going to be really surprised, maybe even shocked, when that information comes out. And I guarantee you it will. But this fact of threatening people, this is not the first time I've heard this. And this comes from a different source. And it comes from someone who is working in the financial community and has been very, very close to this whole Nasara project from the beginning. And so has taken a particularly unique interest in what's going on, being a participant in it. And I know some other people around the country who have invested into that. Now,
I hope it's all, really true and legitimate, because the Nasara bill is a white knight activity to oust the black knights. And so I just hope, I really hope it's true, Don. I just can't wait for time to reveal it, whether it is or not, because it's long overdue.
Now, that's, in essence, what's going on, and then everything else is intended to be a diversion, or a distraction, or a smokescreen to stop us from seeing that. And that brings up the issue of this swine, or let's call it the flying pig human disease.
How about the Mexican flu?
Well, they're calling it Mexican flu. I've seen it now described as quite possibly a form of pneumonic plague or bubonic plague,
mm-hmm.
and a sort of a hybrid version of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say about 3 weeks prior to when this news was coming out, there was already an investigation going on in terms of Fort Detrick, Maryland, and some missing vials of this stuff. Obama went to Mexico very recently, and upon his arriving there, within a day, there was a Mexican official that came down with this flu, and I understand died, as well as some of the team that went there ahead of Obama. And that there are several descriptions of them having released this, or those in the know, microbiologists or doctors that are familiar with these viruses, have described the delivery method, how this would have been taken maybe to the top of buildings and spread to affect the largest number of people. And it's just too coincidental.
I'm sure, again, it's just chemtrails.
Yeah, it's like blackmail is what it was. But this is intended to blackmail all the countries that are complaining about not getting their funding, you see, these monies that have been stolen. There is so much corruption going on, it's unimaginable. Even to the people that know about this and study this on a moment-to-moment basis every day of their lives, they're just appalled at how much corruption there is and the role that the media is playing. Mm-hmm. And you know, it all fits into universal law. It fits into God's laws. What these people's own punishment, their own self-determined punishment is going to be when they leave this planet, if they ever even are allowed to leave this realm, you know, this dimension.
Well, their time for expiring will come about. And as the Lord said, as you sow, so shall you reap. If you sow the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind. And that's what they have coming to them. I refer to the swine flu as the Mexican flu because, like I heard some great patriots say recently, you know, calling it the swine flu doesn't mean anything because it's taking you off from understanding the main point of if we classify it as a Mexican flu and it's a potential pandemic, then why in the heck's name are our borders wide open? Shut them right down. If this is all legitimate, shut the borders down. So if everybody calls it the Mexican flu, it'll register in their minds like, how come we're allowing them to come over here in droves if there's a bad Mexican flu, a serious Mexican flu going around?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard different descriptions. Now, even financial writer Christopher Story went into some detail on this because he's talking to some people that have some understanding of it. In fact, I think it was his quote that I used about pneumonic and bubonic plague. That you know, these are definitely laboratory created diseases, and they have been used time and again. You know, very few people are aware of the first Gulf War that Bush Sr. started, and the number of people that died from chemicals that were used in that war. That was that was kept out of the press.
Gulf War syndrome.
And yet many of our soldiers came back with the disease, which they deemed to they coined a phrase, Gulf War syndrome, and they denied it for so many years.
They were telling them what was all in their minds.
Yeah, it was post-traumatic stress disorder, and then this was being passed on to their offspring.
Oh, yes, sure, but it was all in their minds still, even at that point.
Yeah, exactly, and I suppose if it's in your mind, then you carry it in your sperm or in your ovum, and you know.
Yes, when you see your kids getting birth defects, it's all in your mind.
Yes, now, Dr. Bill Deagle, who's been on the show not too long ago, and who has his own show on GCN, talks about that quite frequently. In fact, he treated many of the patients in Oklahoma City, and he ties the Murrah Federal Building bombing to the very fact that they wanted to hide or destroy the records that were being amassed there over this very issue. So these things are planned. This is the point we're trying to get people to be aware of. And when they try to spread this panic and this fear, it's funny they call it a pandemic, right? As if, you know, a pandemonium.
You know, it's clearly prefabbed on, like you said. And what everyone has to be aware of, from all the data and some of the experts, I was listening to Dr. Truat recently, and the shots are where the disease is really emanating from, and that's how it spreads. They did it in the early 1900s with the Spanish flu, and they came in with the shots to save everybody, and then the disease actually took off and got worse.
Yeah, now when you say shots, you mean vaccines. We're not talking about little glasses of whiskey. Or
yes, vaccinations. Yeah. And so this is what everybody has to be aware of. It's all a ploy to get you into that fear mode where when they come to the rescue with that big shiny needle, they're going to save you. They're so kind. They're going to save us all. And just let us stick this needle in your arm and you'll be fine. And that's how they'll spread this disease around, if they can pull it off. But because the show's like yours, Don, I think the awareness of the public is better than ever. And I don't think too many people will be that naive to allow a government person or anybody coming at them with a vaccination under the guise that it's good and safe.
Yes. Yes, that's true. And now, when we look at these diseases that are lab created, like the SARS scare that they had some years ago,
right?
That was designed to attack a specific race of people. That was engineered to go after Asians, in particular the Chinese, and they're following genetic patterns This is something that shows all the signs of alien technologies.
Well, you have.
Or alien mindsets. And I don't mean alien as in the sense of another country.
They're definitely evil intentions. And IBM is behind all this as far as a leading technical corporation with a genome project that's been going on for, I don't know, at least 2 decades. With the advancing computer mathematical computation abilities, they were able to really pursue this. And now, apparently, they've gotten to the point where they're confident they can prepare specific diseases for specific races. And sure, that, you know, the Nazis and the communists are probably grinning ear to ear, long, long overdue, awaiting such a powerful tool to control the masses and cause a what would they call a cutting of the herd?
Culling of the herd.
A culling of the herd.
Yeah. Well, on past shows you mentioned this communique that you came across to the higher ups at IBM, and it's, you know, to a lot of people this is a very incomprehensible topic when you think about you know, international business machines and the fact that not too many years ago, 20 years ago, maybe 20, as recently as 23 years ago, they were selling IBM Selectric 3 typewriters with ribbons and liftoff tapes. That was a big business in California. They had boiler rooms all over the state, and they were selling these. Mm-hmm. And I knew some people in the music business that had daytime jobs that were selling those. And it seemed really strange because a year or two after that, all of a sudden computers came out. They went from a couple of word processors. I think Brother was one that had one, and maybe Canon. There were a handful of companies that were coming out with these word processors, and basically they were these really cumbersome television-like screens that had green letters, if you remember.
And yes, and monochrome.
Yeah, and they were monochrome, but the version that they came out with had these, you know, a backlit screen that showed the letters in this fluorescent green.
Right.
And then you had a keyboard attached to it. And there was no mouse or anything like that. You used it like a typewriter. Mm-hmm. And it had probably enough memory to type a letter. You know, that's what the public was getting. And these were extremely expensive items, you know. They were ridiculously expensive.
Sure.
And then they started coming out with the computers. And IBM was basically manufacturing many of the chips, which I know you were involved with. You know, you were involved in that end of the production. And then that started to get farmed out to foreign countries. So we could actually see how once we got it down here, then they found cheaper places to do this, and so their profit margins increased enormously. And we were still making things here. We were still doing a lot of the assembly or the testing or the software development here. And then that started getting farmed out to foreign countries. The manufacturing of the hardware, and there were more companies coming out. It wasn't just IBM. It was a host of companies that just seemed to come out of nowhere. And they might be on the market for a couple of months or a couple of years maximum. And then these companies just disappeared. Then they gave Bill Gates the opportunity to develop all the operating systems for those PCs. Now, we're not talking about Macintosh computers or any of the other languages that were being used for graphics or for music. There were a couple of companies that actually were specializing in that area. So computers sort of became like a glorified word processor for a long time. And then they came up with all kinds of ways to create distractions and diversions and stuff. And then it was after they sort of got a handle on all that and just flooded the market, then the internet came out. Now, we're of the assumption that the internet was something that was just born in the early 90s and everybody started using it then, but it was many, many years prior to that that they actually had computer communication, didn't they?
Well, among the military, yes.
Yes. In fact, the internet was invented for the military.
Yeah, Don, you pretty much summarized it quite well. The chip appeared, the silicon chip appeared in the mid-50s at Bell Labs, and how it came about, well, there's a lot of stories to that, and some say it's alien technology in exchange for other things that they were these aliens were promised, and since I built chips for IBM for a long time, I will say that it's a very mysterious process, black magic, nothing but poison to make it, to fabricate it. And so there's something to say about all that, and I know it firsthand. But what happened was as the chip technology advanced, becoming more and more complex, more and more sophisticated chips, they begin to offshore the older version technologies, which were simpler chips. And when the alarm bells were being raised, it's like, hey, that's our technology, giving it away abroad. What about our national security and issues like that? Oh, we're way ahead. So they'll never catch up to us. That's what we were told back then. And then over the course of another 10, 15 years, maybe 20, yeah, 20 total, probably somewhere around there, they started offshoring all the high-tech stuff as well. And now we're at the point where we don't make anything at all.
Mm-hmm. Now, you can verify this. I know that in electronics in general, when we look at plastics, when we look at many of the components that are used to manufacture electronic circuits, and both analog and digital, oil plays a very big part, doesn't it? The petroleum industry.
It has a big part in everything, Don, except semiconductor manufacturing. The only necessity for the oil would be to get the electricity surging through all the lines so that you can have the facility productive. But in semiconductor manufacturing, no oil, no petroleum per se. It's all synthetic processing, incredible toxic chemicals, gases. I mean, it's so dangerous, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. And that's another reason why they wanted to offshore. I mean, IBM had a huge lawsuit about 10 years ago, and they lost it, which is very rare. But the suit was all about so many IBM employees dying from cancer, very young. I know quite a few. And so offshoring also gave these big corporations like IBM the advantage of exploiting the ignorance of third worlders, communist countries like China with slave labor, where the people so desperate for anything, hey, if they can work for 10 years and make some money and die, it's no sweat to the communist Chinese government. They got millions and millions more to replace them with.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of the offshoring approach, to free the corporations from liabilities, whether it's to individuals because of health issues or to the environment of the country itself, because all those chemicals and gases are polluting the immediate environment,
mm-hmm.
let alone when the wind carries the gases even further. And so it's a very toxic process. And that's one thing nobody really appreciates when they have their computer and anything driven with a chip today. And you say, boy, this is great technology. But if they don't realize what it took to make that chip, all the poison involved, it's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Al Bielek talked quite a bit about much of the technology, the digital technology, coming from aliens and the language. And the computers that we have now are based upon integrating our language with theirs. Mm-hmm. And he spoke very specifically about that. Now, you can see evidence of this when you open up a picture file as a text file. And anyone that is somewhat, you know, fluent with working with documents, computer, knows that you can take a picture. It could be a JPEG or a TIFF file, for example. And, you know, short of naming all the different picture documents, there are quite a few different formats. They can all be opened up as text files, and you can see a language. And it's really interesting. This language uses symbols akin to the Greek alphabet, but some symbols you've never seen before.
That's true.
And they show up on alien artifacts.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, Don, I mean, that's very interesting that you mention all that. And then Anil Bielek has stated that, because from my own personal experience, I really suspect that's all true from working at IBM. There's something to this technology that does not seem earthy at all, or man-made, man-contrived. It's such an ingenious approach to electronics that and what it takes to make it happen with all these poisons. I mean, I used to say for years, Lord, why can't it be milk, you know, and sugar and ingredients like that to make a semiconductor chip? Why does it have to be all these toxic, highly poisonous chemicals and gases? And that just, you know, that just supports it more, Don. Now, when I used to make chips for IBM that were 8 to 10 years in advance, like the machines we were making chips for weren't timed to be released for at least 8 to 10 years.
But someone was using those.
And there you go. It was the military. We knew, because of some of the specs that were required of these chips, like radiation exposure, things like that, we figured, sure enough, it's going right into military hardware, advanced military hardware. And so absolutely, the military is way further ahead with the technology at their disposal that they utilize. And the civilians are kept in the dark, and we get the lesser technology that's old and antiquated. And whatever we see as modern technology, you can trust is old, antiquated technology for the elite, which have something even far surpassing that.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we get into other aspects of electronic components, for example, resistors or capacitors or certain types of operational amplifiers and switching devices, and I'm talking about integrated circuits, some of these being integrated circuits, There are a couple of companies that are very much in the high-tech industry. One is Raytheon. And there was a time when I was building and designing audio speaker systems and building and designing the crossovers and trying some things that other manufacturers hadn't done, using very, very high-end materials to produce reliability and to get the speakers to perform beyond what's normal. And I would use military spec capacitors, and the ones I would get were from a surplus store that was picking up all these Raytheon parts. And some of these were used in many of the spacecraft, as you mentioned. You know, these technologies were being used by the military. I was using Mylar capacitors that you couldn't buy anywhere but at the surplus store. And they were manufactured by Raytheon, and they had a very, very accurate tolerance, meaning that it had to perform within specific parameters, and it couldn't go outside those parameters. Right. So yeah. I paid more for these components, but the crossover really performed admirably. And then as they came out with chips, you know, we had companies like Motorola. Now, Motorola is very big in the cell phone industry these days, and they were making many of the chips that were ending up in the computers as well.
That's right.
And the point I'm getting to is that there was a point, even going back into the early 1960s when Sony was coming out with the Trinitron televisions. You remember all of a sudden they were interesting because they had these really clear color pictures on a 13-inch screen. And the Trinitron in the beginning was just available in a 13-inch screen. And there were transistors like crazy in those TV sets. And they were able to diminish the size because of this technology. And that came through Sony. So there's a Rockefeller connection. And they gave that technology, or they took that technology. Standard Oil of New York originally was called Saucony. And that was Standard Oil Company of New York. Uh-huh. And that was in the Far East. Saucony was actually in Indonesia. So there was some technology going on where they were getting dirt cheap labor. They would go in there and build a factory, and the Japanese became very powerful because of the role the transistor played in the development of consumer electronics. Many people alive today are unaware of that, especially a lot of the younger kids who are using many of those products weren't around to experience the introduction of those products.
That's right. The transition of its growth, that technology's growth. That's right.
Yeah. You know, the Cadillac of the TVs in those days was probably the Curtis Mathis television, if you remember that brand.
I do.
Yeah. And it was an extremely clear picture, but it was an expensive television, and they were, for the most part, they were 27-inch TV screens, very heavy cabinetry.
Piece of furniture.
Yeah, it was like a piece of furniture. And then when they started condensing them down into smaller, let's say, chassis, but still with the large screen size, all of a sudden they went into plastics. Right. Sony used plastics. So you see the influence that oil played in the manufacturing of
yes.
all kinds of consumer goods,
yes.
to the point where the inside of a refrigerator is all plastic, the outside. Everything is made of plastic, coffee machines and cookware, and then you have the microwave oven, and on and on and on. All these different ways of producing unnatural types of electromagnetic emissions.
Sure. And the promotion of the plastics decades ago. Oh, it's space age material.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
And
yeah.
And so, you know, we can tie these things into our health. They all interconnect, because when you look at the new diseases that are emerging and all these viruses and hybrid diseases that are being created to attack our genes, to attack our makeup, and then the
DNA specific.
Yes, yes. And probably RNA specific too.
Yes, you know, absolutely.
We become more susceptible to the diseases. We become more susceptible to the way these inventions lend themselves to subliminal mind control or just right in your face mind control. Mm-hmm. It's just an endless stream of events that seem to keep going back to the same places. Why do you suppose, other than cheap labor, why do you suppose so much of this technology began to be manufactured in the Far East? Hong Kong is another place. Malaysia is another place. And Korea.
Well done. It's real simple. By knowing our history, we can see what their agenda is. And every war, every enemy the United States has dealt with, significant enemies, besides internal, British with the Revolutionary War and the War of 1812 and then the Civil War, which is all internal stuff here at home. But the foreign wars, World War I, World War II, the Nazis and the Communists to this day are major enemies. They were all financed and supported by these globalist elites like the Rockefeller Rothschild bankster cabal. And so they've created every enemy that we went to war with. And so you can see that when they started working with investing in the Asia area, it was clearly that they were promoting the next enemy of the United States that we're going to go to war with. And now, sure enough, we can see it ever since Clinton administration, when they started to give the communist Chinese incredible military technology, like, oh, you guys can't launch that missile? Oh, it wobbles and crashes real quick? Oh, we'll fix that for you. We'll send over the technology. We'll send over the manpower with the brains and show you how it's done. And then Bush comes in, oh, you can't hit a bullseye with the missile? Oh, okay, don't worry. We'll show you how you hit a bullseye. We'll send you over the technology and the brains and manpower to show you how it's done. And also, the Chinese built up a big blue water navy, which they never had, ever. And now they can sail quickly around the world with a fleet of navy ships that are heavily equipped for massive destruction, and so we can see what the agenda was, Don. Number one, to exploit the third world people with slave labor and no environmental controls, with all that poisonous material being consumed for the manufacturing process. All the waste will be just disposed of into the air, into the environment, with no care, concern for anybody or anything. Mm-hmm. And then also build them up so they become a threat to us. Now look, we are in debt to communist China right now. They're holding most of our tills. And so what more proof would we need to see that they built up an enemy that now may be bigger than us?
Yeah, and you know, there are a lot of things that the average person is unaware of. And I know specifically an Indian family. This is a family from India that was big in the electronics industry, and they were a distributor, international distributor of Pioneer products, Pioneer Electronics. Mm-hmm. And they had a store in Baghdad. And during the time period that this war was beginning to foment, we had the war in between Iraq and Iran, and there was a ban on selling the 384 computers, the IBM 384s, to Saddam Hussein. Mm-hmm. And the way they were getting around this, and this particular company, I'm familiar with, was also in the chip industry, and they had a manufacturing plant or an assembly plant in Canada. And to circumvent getting these processors, these motherboards, the 384 motherboards, to Iraq and other places where it was probably illegal, at least that's what they put out for consumption, you know, for the public, that it's illegal to sell these.
Right, and just like the Apple G4.
Yeah.
When it came out.
Yeah, maybe their intent was to sell them their version with the back doors already installed, you see.
Right.
So they wanted to make sure that everybody that did get a computer in these countries got the ones that had the back doors into their banking system and into their affairs.
Right.
And we know that was going on. Now, this is just prior to the Promise Software debacle, okay? So the way they got around this, they're manufacturing these chips in the Far East, Singapore, Hong Kong, and they're shipping them to Canada and assembling the boards in Canada and then shipping them to Baghdad, maybe through Syria or Jordan, some other country, and then doing the assembly in those countries.
Even through Israel, maybe.
yeah, exactly. So they have ways of doing this, okay?
Sure.
Most people are unaware of that. They think, you know, people get a handle on a computer that they went into a store and bought it like we do. Mm-hmm. And many of these boards were also later manufactured in Mexico, as well as the electronics for the automotive industry, you see. And they ship the parts across the border. Eventually, they moved all of the manufacturing out of the country. It's what's been occurring, okay?
Yeah.
It's just that for one reason or another, folks don't see it happening. They just see all of a sudden that company's gone, and they don't see the progression of how this is put together using these techniques of getting certain components manufactured in one country, shipped to another country. And a lot of this is to avoid the taxes or to circumvent certain laws that are out there. I don't at all think that there was an intentional ban to keep Saddam Hussein from getting his hands on a computer. Do you think with the trillions of dollars that he had amassed,
you have a problem acquiring some?
Exactly. You know, there were other technologies. In fact, one reason why they went into Iraq in the beginning was that he had discovered some ancient alien technologies there.
Yeah, that's been going around. But here's a perspective nobody really mentions, Don. The big corporations came to being because of American ingenuity, American sweat. And once the corporations got real big, and the ones like IBM into sophisticated technology that can be used to control to such extremities that it's just unfathomable. Once they got all that, what'd they do? They left us. They stabbed us in the back, and they went to foreign countries. They got this globalist attitude. Well, we're really international companies. We're really not national companies. And I said, back then, and I say it now, BS. You either get your butts back home, rehire all these Americans that built you up, or we will confiscate your property, take your company over, really nationalize it. When I hear about, you know, nationalizing the bank and all that, we know that's all double talk. That's double speak. That's nonsense. They're not nationalizing anything. But I say we really nationalize these big corporations. Arrest the CEOs and all the primary stockholders that are supporting the initiatives of these corporations to go global and leave Americans high and dry. And that's really a serious perspective that Americans should be discussing all the time. We built all these big corporations up with our brains and our sweat, and then they leave us high and dry. And now they're giving this very advanced technology to potential enemies.
Well, you know, here's a point too, and a lot of this was I discovered for myself, and I incorporated a lot of this into my research, my genealogical research, is that we're led to believe certain companies like GM and Ford and Coca-Cola are you know, as American as apple pie. And that's not the case. These companies were always owned by foreign entities, secretly owned.
Right.
And those that were, you know, the Henry Fords of the world were always portrayed as being the founders of these companies, and that was part of the ruse. These were never American companies. They happened to be in America. There's a difference between that. And so they had no compunction about taking their company and moving it elsewhere.
Well, I don't know if that's the case with, like, Ford in the very beginning. The guy was extremely wealthy and powerful for quite a while until he just made some major bad investments with rubber plantations in South America trying to source his own rubber for his tires. And that cost him dearly financially.
See, that to me, that's the Rockefeller influence there.
Probably, Don, because you're right on as far as we for sure there was foreign investment coming in to people like Ford as they seen the potential of a huge profit potential existing with his invention. And so what they did, Don, right, they exploited and took advantage of these American inventors and then eventually ruined them so they could totally take over that business and make it their own. And that is really how it came about, I'm sure, for everybody. Look at Hughes, even Howard Hughes, same thing.
He's one of the Illuminati bloodlines. In fact, Howard Hughes' ancestry can be traced to Abraham Lincoln. And being an offspring of the royal line in Denmark.
Nonetheless, you know, even if the genealogy is true with Howard Hughes, but he built up from his dad's hardware company, he built up an empire, a huge, I mean, rivaling the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, Don.
Mm-hmm.
But Howard Hughes, from all I'm aware of, was very patriotic.
Well, Howard Hughes may have been patriotic, but they moved in and stole his company. Okay,
sure. That's my point.
Yeah, they moved in and stole it, and there is it's traceable through the Springs, and then the Springsteen line, which is really the Lincoln line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this has been going on for way over 100 years, okay? We see this time and again. And I only bring that up to show that we are shown commercials and we're taught buy American, buy American, buy American. And that causes us to believe that that's an American company. And that's not the case. Look how easily they could merge Daimler-Benz, you know, with GM.
Yes, I mean, the British were the major owners of our country coming into the early 1900s time frame. They were the primary foreign investors, along with other European associates of theirs, I'm sure. But the British were major, major owners over here. That was well known.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very startling when you heard that fact, how much British money was controlling American businesses here, major, big businesses. But when you can buy American at small level, small scale businesses where, you know, it's an American invention, it's American product being manufactured by Americans, and that's all legitimate. But when it came to real money making, like power generation, your big power plants that provide the electricity for your cities and towns, that like Con Ed down in New York, those were British-owned for the most part. And now it's a conglomeration of not just British and Europeans, but Orientals, Asians, and Middle Easterners as well. And so, yeah, we've been, bottom line is we have been sold out. We've been put on the auction block, and we've just been up for sale for years, and I'm just sick and tired of it. And we ought to get a bumper sticker saying something to the effect of, the United States is not for sale, period.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, Michael, I've traveled around the world, and I've been to countries where you don't see telephone poles, and you don't see electrical wires, you know, running across your yard or running along the streets. You don't see that. They're buried underground. Mm-hmm. And especially in the countries that were bombed to smithereens in the world wars. So once World War II stopped, all the renovation, and I don't know per se that the power lines were all exposed back then, but I can certainly ask the question, why are all of our power lines exposed? Well, it's a real easy way to disable the power system, isn't it, and cripple the country.
It sure is, Don, and I know, like here nearby, not too far, that whole development, all their wires, all their lines are underground as well. So I always figured that, like where I live in this old village, well, it was just so old. I mean, that was all they did. They strung up the wires, and then finally started to realize, let's bury everything. It's better that way. And so I'm curious to see, like, with all the new development around here, I'm going to keep my eyes open and see how much of that is underground and how much is still telephone pole related. I'll have to start observing that closer.
Mm-hmm. And we know that there are electromagnetic emanations from certain power lines that cause cancer and other illnesses that
yes.
that seem to come up. You know, people that live in an area where high tension wires are mm-hmm. have higher incidence of cancer and other health problems.
Yes.
So we know that keeps the pharmaceutical companies and the medical community in business. And although those numbers are different, but when we get into the other electronic components, televisions, certain radios, stereo equipment, cell phones, and wireless devices, computers.
And your digital phones as well.
Yes, exactly. You now are in a realm of the unknown, and they're not going to tell you what this does to your health or what this does to your mind, because the whole thing is to control us.
Yes.
You know.
Chew us up and spit us out.
Yeah, exactly.
We're just a human resource.
So there's more, you know, these inventions are designed to entertain us, to take our minds off of what's going on, make us not be perceptive, to really interfere with our higher abilities.
Yes.
Ultimately, it keeps us in a lower frequency, all of this. And then they talk about, you know, these products aren't safe. For example, there's a particular company, ABC company or XYZ company, and they manufacture a new device, and it hits the market by accident. They can't suppress it. It takes off. And then all these issues come out. All of a sudden you hear Congress suddenly becoming in our safety. The pedophiles, the people that are involved in molesting children and selling them as slaves around the world and enriching themselves, they're suddenly concerned about our well-being.
Yes, and they're also involved with major corruption financially, but yes, not all of a sudden they care, huh?
Yeah, but they don't care about the toxicity intentionally put in foods to make people sick, right?
Yeah.
You eat these foods and you get sick. Oh, but it's fun and it makes you feel good and it's going to make your kids happy. And they sell all of this mental emotion and ego gratification. Mm-hmm. And symbolism and idolatry, even through foods.
Yes.
They can't, I never could figure out what a tiger has to do with a bowl of cereal. You know? You know,
one thing's for sure, that bowl of cereal doesn't make you feel like a tiger.
And you know, maybe in some countries, if they do have cornfields, they have Bengal tigers running through the cornfields. I don't know. But, you know, to use a tiger and give the tiger a name and, you know, create this creature that somehow is attached to cornflakes does not make any sense. And yet, it's used in advertising. It's used to influence kids. And so, you know, what is it kids are actually eating when they're eating this stuff?
Well, it's all hyped on just to get us to believe in a false belief that that particular food item is good. I mean, as an athlete growing up, they used to push Gatorade, right? Oh, this is an energy drink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a thirst quencher. Yeah.
Yeah, a thirst quencher. It makes you more thirsty.
Yeah.
That's what you notice that right away. You have a gulp. Next thing you know, you're thirstier. And because it's all crap with crap sugar and artificial coloring in the water, has nothing to do with anything healthy at all, but they promote it as that. And that's part of their deception. They're masters at that.
Yeah, they tell you, well, it replaces electrolytes in your body.
Yeah.
Well, you know, a lot of things will do that, you know.
Well, electrolytes are simply minerals, but the mineral content in that was mainly, I think it was sodium chloride. I mean, it was junk, total junk. I was a big athlete growing up. That stuff didn't provide anything to keep you going in the game. Nothing. Total hype.
Yeah. Well, you could achieve the same effect with pure drinking water and maybe a salt supplement. You know, if you were involved in a sport where you perspired abnormally.
Yeah, and you're wondering why. It's the salt water that's making you sweat.
You see, now when we start talking about all these things and then you come around to a pandemic, it kind of makes sense what they're doing with that. I mean, everything in our reality has a system. It has a purpose for controlling us, ultimately.
Yes.
It has a lure. The appearance, the feeling of owning this, or the fact that it's something that can be acquired, it can be gotten on credit. In other words, you can pay 10 times or 100 times what it's worth. In the case of pharmaceuticals, it's in the 50,000s and higher, percentage wise, as far as the price you pay. For this, and they manufacture viruses and diseases, and then come out with drugs that only a few people can afford. They're outrageously expensive, and then you don't really know what those drugs are doing to you either.
Not until a while later down the road.
Mm-hmm. Until another disease or side effect crops up.
Until you get your next checkup.
Yeah. And I'm reading, or you know, if you hear an ad, and this could be on TV or on the radio or, you know, see it in a magazine, you hear these ads, and you and I have talked about this many times, the side effects that they have. Mm. You know, it's a medicine to lift your spirits. It's maybe for depression. Of course, you have to talk to your doctor about this. You have to talk to your doctor to see if your doctor says you're depressed.
That's right.
Okay. Only the doctor can really tell you if you're not feeling well.
Yep, the man in the white coat knows it all.
And then you have to be careful because it causes blindness, or diarrhea, or vomiting.
Yes, or cancer.
Well, they don't tell you that. But the side effects, the liver damage.
That's right.
Blurred vision.
Become sterilized.
Yeah.
That's right. It could become blind, your pancreas, your liver, your kidneys could rot out. Could cause a heart attack. But aside from all that, it's going to make you feel fine.
Mm-hmm. You'll sleep well. Oh, it's never ending. And so
pathetic. It's disgusting.
Now all of this is sold under the cloak of some security, okay? Some relief or some security. Mm-hmm. And that's the peddling of the fear. You see, an epidemic has to be now called a pandemic. You never hear the word epidemic used. Now it's pandemic.
Yes, and also what you're seeing here with this approach is everything's a disease. Oh, he's got mental depression disease, ADD, attention deficit disorder. What?
RLS. Yeah, we talked about that.
How many are there now? All these nonsense, BS, phony diseases. But it's all designed to keep pumping out the pharmaceuticals on you. And so they've got to keep creating these phony nonsense diseases so people think, oh, Mike, I have ADD, or my son's got ADD. He needs that Ritalin or whatever they're giving him. And it's like, snap out of it, people. There's no such thing.
Mm-hmm.
I daydreamed all the time in school. All the time. If the teacher wasn't that good, especially. But it wasn't detrimental in any way. I was on the honor roll when I tried, and then I went to college and graduated, and I tutored, became a scientist. I tutored chemistry and calculus while I was in college. And so daydreaming's good. It could be very good. It was very good for me. And so that's what they're up to done. All these phony diseases being these fancy names for nonsense, phony diseases to get people into believing that they're real. And the Americans bought it. And that's what's so amazing.
I know. It's so prevalent. And it's really sad, too, because these people get, they go to a doctor. They're living on welfare. They go to a doctor. The doctor prescribes this. It gets covered by Medicaid, and whatever money these people have left over from food stamps and what they're able to barter off to somebody out of their food stamps, they turn around and end up over many, many years. I see this a lot. People that I know that could be productive, mm-hmm, are hooked on these drugs, and they're actually incapacitated. They're now collecting disability. They're going from being sick and getting a medicine. And I'm not saying all medicines. There might be some medicines that are actually beneficial. But
yes, there's probably a few.
Yeah. And yet the preponderance of everything that's coming out is untested. They've created laws that there's no responsibility,
no liability
for what these medicines do. And so it's all swept under the rug.
Right. And when people die from it, and we have to pull this drug back because people are dying. No liability. Oh, no, no. But you or me, we're liable for everything. Oh, you can't sell that. You can't do that. Look what it did.
You can't even talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. But these big corporations, no liability while they're killing you. While they experiment on you, ruin your health, and either cause a serious physical handicap or they kill you. No liability. No.
Yeah,
business as usual.
Now, if someone can't see that this country is screwed up on the basis of the things that we covered on this show tonight, and we're just scratching the surface.
Oh, sure.
I don't know. I really don't know what else we can do. I've got some new guests coming on board. There are things going on in the legal community that are pretty interesting. There are some people that are looking at constitutional issues and remedies that are available in the Constitution.
Great.
And we're going to be talking about some of that next week. And it applies to all of this stuff.
Absolutely.
There's an organization called American Grand Jury. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they've
That sounds great already. I love to hear grand jury all the time. That's what we need a lot more of, grand jury activity.
Well, it's in the Constitution. I've been aware of this for a few months, just, through my research. I studied the Constitution a little bit and read between the lines on a few things, and I all of a sudden I heard this organization has issued some indictments against the current administration. This is occurring in various states around the country. And these are citizens' grand juries. They're taking this very seriously. And, of course, you heard my opening statements at the beginning of this show. We're talking about flat-out multi-trillion-dollar financial corruption and the attitude that anybody that leaves the country with the intention of finalizing a business deal and getting their hands on some money is going to be eliminated.
Wow.
Those threats are coming from the President of the United States. If these statements, these articles are true, it seems to fit the pattern, is what I'm saying.
The
arrogance.
The grand jury is, that's why people probably don't know what it is anymore, because they had to suppress that knowledge. The grand jury is us having the final say in court. When the judge isn't doing a job, law enforcement's not doing a job, the grand jury's commissioned. They do the investigations. They get everybody under oath to give testimonies, and then they tell the courts what action should be taken. And that, we need a lot more grand jury activity done. That's great. And that's a phenomenal solution, another solution for us as Americans to take our power back as Americans, wanting to own our own government and our own country. That's a very powerful tool.
Yeah. Now, in spite of all of the money laundering and the electronic banking that's going on, the digitizing of people's real property, there are some remedies that are going to come out. I'm going to have Pearson on the show to talk about an idea he's got involving foreclosures, it's very sound from what I've heard.
The one pertaining to making sure that whoever you're paying your note to has the legal title. If they don't, you don't have to pay them. I love that, because now you got these crooks, you know, caught in their own game. And so that's great, Don. But, you know, also everybody needs to understand the other solutions regarding what we just touched upon with health and medications and synthetic drugs. It's all this, and technology advancements with electronics. It's all designed to take us away from nature.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have to make sure we don't allow that. Personally, make sure you're connected to nature. Do whatever you can to be in close to nature, especially when it comes to your food and how you maintain your health.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that point, you'll be able to get a more and more closer relationship to nature, because with those two fundamentals in place, going to her for your health and for your food to keep you healthy, and even your medicine if you need medicine, from that, those experiences to see how, wow, Mother Nature's great. These foods are so good, I feel great. Or these herbs are so good, that problem's gone. And then you realize Mother Nature is where it's at. And they don't want us to know that. They want us to think they're now God.
Yes, that's exactly the point I was going to make, is that all of this is designed to separate us from God, or to cause us to believe that we are separate from God.
That's right, Don.
And that's never been the case. You can only make that decision to do that. But if you open up your heart, God will speak to you and God will transform your life. And that's how we will get our country back.
Absolutely.
Is by acknowledging God.
And keeping Him in all of your activities.
And nature is one easy way to do that, because mm-hmm. you align yourself. You know, nature doesn't have to listen to all this claptrap to function. You know,
doesn't matter to her at all.
Nature has to struggle with the damage that we cause, but nevertheless, nature keeps going on. The trees keep blossoming in the spring, and the plants, and the birds and the bees. Although less these days, where the bees seem to be in hiding for their own safety, most likely.
Yeah, Don. You know, we have to take responsibility for ourselves. And if you want to really appreciate nature and get close to her, you have to show her high respect. You know, Don, just early this morning, I was coming back into town. I'm taking some back roads I haven't been on in a while, checking out the scenery. Coming down this hill, and there's something in the road. As I go by it, I realize, I think that's a turtle. And just when I'm ready to pull over quick, sure enough, right behind me, somebody's coming out of nowhere, and they're moving quick. So I'm like, darn it. And sure enough, as I pull over quick, because I wanted to go rescue that turtle, get him into a safe spot, that car right behind me hit it. Ran it right. Didn't think twice about it. I was crying for this poor little box turtle, just coming out of a long winter here in the Northeast, a hard winter, manages to survive it, coming out with nice spring conditions, wants to enjoy its life, gets flattened out in a road by some mortal, in a rush, all just worried about wherever they got to go, and nothing else. And there's dead animals in the road all the time this time of year, because the animals are getting active now with the good weather coming in, and they just get flattened out in the roads. People just keep going. And this is where we are today. So disconnected. It's me. And forget everything else. And that's why people like that are going to lose. They're going to lose everything. Yeah. And somebody like me to say, well, this guy, boy, he's taking a little extreme, isn't he? I mean, oh, it's a turtle. Yeah, because it's a creature of God. And I respect that it just managed to make it through a hard winter. It didn't have a nice cozy house with heat coming out of its furnace to keep it nice and warm. It struggled to survive in a harsh condition. It makes it. Now that the conditions are more pleasant and conducive for living, it gets killed in a road while it's just going on, minding its own business, trying to get to its destination. And so you have to have that sensitivity towards all life.
It's more than just the loss of that turtle. There's a whole disruption of that whole chain in nature.
Sure, exactly. It might have been ready to breed, lay eggs. Now they're done. And sure, exactly, Don. We're all links in a never-ending chain that emanate from God Himself. And we're all connected. And Americans got to snap out of their illusions and all this self-centeredness that they've been trained to and conditioned to accept, that, you know, everything's about them. And that's why the Lord said, you have to lose yourself in order to find yourself. And that doesn't make sense to anybody until you go through the process. You have to get rid of what you think you are, your mortal nature, me, and all that. Start sacrificing what you want for the better of other things around you. Meaning that, well, these animals in my backyard, they're starving and they need something to eat. But I'm too busy. I got to keep going what I'm doing here. They'll find something to eat. I got to keep going. Whatever it is, or this person here. They need a little bit of attention. My kid, my niece, my nephew, my brother, my sister, my mom, dad, my friend, whatever. And if people would in this country would just start to realize what they are and what they are not, we'll take this country back in no time.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And you know, we can see there. You know, I had Michael St. Clair on earlier this week on Tuesday, and we were talking about this more or less in a cosmic sense. Michael's pretty far out there in his perceptions of everything that we've talked about tonight, and he's focusing on, you know, we've got to take care of our business and stop waiting for someone else to do it. We've got to make preparations for things that are going on. There's going to be a certain amount of chaos. There is now. So it's not something to fear. We're already in the chaos. It's just that many are unaware of it. Mm-hmm. And we're mentioning it not to frighten people, but to get people to wake up and realize you have to do something about this. You've got to get your things in order, and you've got to prepare so that your family is prepared. If those of you that have families and children, you want to make sure that you're doing the right things, so that you can be self-sufficient, because we're created with indescribable abilities and powers if we only tap into them. If when you're accepting an alternative that is really intended to control and distract you
and limit you.
Yeah, and to limit you, of course, then you're missing the boat. So we could go on and on, but we're out of time. Michael, I want to thank you for being on the show.
Oh, it was a pleasure, Don. Thank you.
And I want to encourage folks that are interested in Michael Anthony's private stock, visit my sponsors page at directlightproductions.com. Michael is available for consultation, and you'll be very happy and very pleased with what he's got to offer you. So I want to thank you. I look forward to your next visit on Evident Footprints.
Thanks, Don. Same here, pal. Have a good night.
Okay, folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and our special guest, Michael Anthony. He'll be back later on this month, and be sure to take a look at the schedule. Go to directlightproductions.com to see who's scheduled. Just click on radio schedule. Can't be any simpler than that. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.